It's great to express with you all. God bless you all. You have a beautiful, beautiful community here. The beautiful spirit here. You know, I've been doing this as long as I remember. I'm a second generation Messianic Jew, and I was raised in the Messianic way in my home. And because of that, it has given me the privilege, the experience. I've seen many communities as my wife and I have traveled, and I don't enjoy saying this, but there are some communities where you cannot feel the Spirit, where when you come, you know that something's not right. But this is a beautiful community. And I feel the Spirit of God here. I see the Spirit that He's placed in you responding to His Spirit in a very healthy and a beautiful way. And you ought to be very glad about that. That's a precious thing. That's a precious thing. It's a hard thing to find. So let's bow our hearts, moment of prayer. Father, we give you thanks for this time together, for your word. Lord, we give you thanks for the good men who went before us, who wrote down your word for our benefit. We thank you for those, Father, who have preserved your word. And we ask and pray that through the feebleness of my words, that you would speak to your children. Pray, Father, that your Spirit will do his mysterious work in our hearts, that as we go through your word today, it will not be informational, but rather transformational. That you transfer our hearts, that we become more and more like your dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Yeshua. And it's in his name we pray. Amen and amen. I want you to open your Bibles with me, please. And we're in Exodus. Oop, 35th chapter. And we are in last week's Parsha portion at this moment. And there's something that happens . Give me a second here. That's not incorrect. That's incorrect. Exodus 35, verses 19. Exodus 35, and we're in verse 19. That does not look right either. Sorry, folks. Looks like I have wrote down my notes incorrectly. We're in Exodus chapter 33, and let's start in verse 17. Exodus chapter 33, and we're in verse 17. And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." And Moses said, "Please show me your glory." I want you to notice the Lord's reply here. And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I'll proclaim before you my name, Adonai. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, For man shall not see me and live. So we have this interaction between the Lord and Moses. And Moses asks the Lord for a very specific thing. What did the Moses ask for the Lord to show him? Right there in the passage. His glory. Moses said, I want to see your glory. Show me your glory. And what did the Lord reply back to Moses? I will show you my goodness. I will show you my goodness. And so today I want to talk about the goodness of God. I want to talk about that part of our faith that when nothing else is left, it's just you and it's just God, that he leaves us with his goodness. Now Moses had a request. Moses wanted to see the grandeur of who God was. He wanted to see God in fullness. Show me your glory, he asked the Lord. Present yourself before me. But the Lord had another idea. The Lord said, I'm not going to show you my glory, paraphrase. I'm going to show you my goodness. And our lives so often mimic this same situation that Moses has here. We have requests before the Lord. Lord, show me this particular way. Lord, release this particular burden. Lord, bring this healing upon me. Lord, help me to respond the way in which you want me to respond. Help me to walk in the way that you want me to walk. We have all these requests of the Lord. We ask for miracles. We ask for release. We ask for a breakthrough. We ask to be removed from that place of trial, that place in the crucible that the Lord has us. And we find ourselves wondering why the Lord did not respond in the way in which we wanted him to respond. Genesis, the 15th chapter. Turn with me, if you will. Genesis, the 15th chapter. And it's the Lord and Abraham. And Abraham is here. He's left home. He's gone through a famine. His wife was taken by a foreign king. And he still has no son. He's moving about the countryside. And the promise that was made to him has yet to find fruition in the form of a child. So Abraham is laid bare. What am I doing here? What's this journey you have me on? Why am I here? I've been faithful. I've walked the walk. I left my father's tent. I have all these people that are relying upon me. I've walked. I've responded. And the Lord comes to Abraham in the 15th chapter. He says, after these things, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Now the Hebrew there can be read in both ways. It can be read that your reward shall be great, and it can also be read, I am your reward. I am. I am what you have. I am the one that walks with you. Fear not, Abraham. I am the one that is sufficient. I am the one that will carry you through. I am the one that is, in the words of our Lord Yeshua, he said, I will be with you. He never promised to remove us from the challenges of life, from the difficulties that we have. He never promised to remove us from the crucible, because it's there in the crucible that we become. It's there in the crucible that his work is done. What he promised to us is the same promise he made to our forefather Daniel. I'll be there. I'll be in the lion's den. I'll be in the fire. The same promise he made to our forefathers that gave their life for the gospel's sake. I'll be there when they take your life. There I will be. I will be with you. Sometimes we forget. I know I do. We forget that in our walk with the Lord, it's at that place when there's nothing else left. It's at that place in the quiet of night. It's at that place where all of those things that you had hoped had come to pass had not come to pass. It's at that place where our dreams, our desires, our wants, when all of that has failed us, that's where the beginning of the goodness of the Lord starts. There. Because outside of these walls, there's a world going through exactly the same thing we're going through. They have family struggles. They have trials. They have children that didn't come. They have children that were taken away from them. They have hopes and dreams. They have all the struggles that we have. But in that place, quietness, in the early morning hours, they're alone. The goodness of God is His presence that goes with us. The goodness of God is that place when there's nothing left. It's just you and it's just Him. Now, of course, I'm a father. I'm a husband. And I have my identity in these things. I love my family. I love my wife. I love my children. It's fantastic. That is the blessing to the Lord in my life. No doubt about it. And y'all have your blessings as well. And I'm a big, big proponent. You ought to know me for 2 minutes and I'm saying, be thankful, be thankful. Attitude of gratitude. That's how I live my life. Regardless of what's coming, what's going, I'm praising the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord in all things. Give thanks unto the Lord. But the way in which I live my life and the way in which those who are the saints of the Lord live their life is that their identity is not found in the blessings of the Lord. Their identity is found in Him and Him alone. When you live your life out of that identity that He's called you to be His son and His daughter, then you can move into the rest of your life. And the goodness of God follows you there. Turn with me, Psalm, the 73rd chapter. Psalm, the 73rd chapter. This is not a psalm that was written by David. This was a psalm that was written by one of his musicians. Verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing, nothing, not a business, not a family, not my children, not my wife, not my own dreams, not my hopes, not my hurts. Sometimes we nurture hurts like a sore tooth. We've got to suck on it once in a while just to make sure I still have my hurts with me. We live in a nation that values the hurt as opposed to valuing those who overcome the hurts. Nothing. There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put to end everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. We're in the area here. We started in Crystal River, and we booked in this time to come up here because my wife has a friend, and they're wonderful believers in the Lord, her and her husband. And 3 months ago, they lost their 4-year-old son to leukemia. Their only boy, cute as a button, adorable kid. So here's this beautiful family, husband, wife. They love the Lord. They're very faithful to the local community. They're faithful online. They're always giving him praise. And they find out that their son has leukemia. This gorgeous child. And they've gone through that trauma of having a piece of their body torn away from this world. And we came to meet them. We knew they were going to be in South Florida, so we said, let us come up, let us share, let's hug you guys and spend some time together and minister unto you. And when you look into their eyes, for those of you who have lost your own children, for those of you who have wanted to have children, who can't have children, I have those in my congregation as well. You see the weight of the world in their eyes. And you see their concern for their daughter. And you see all the questions as they go through life wondering why, what happened here. And then you see them smile. And you see them hold hands. And you see the affection of the marriage. You see them care for their daughter. That's the goodness of God in their life. It's the goodness of God that walks with us when we most need it. That's the goodness of God. Because in my family, in my wife's family also, there are those who did lose their children and they never recovered. Part of them died, and forever they mourned. Forever they couldn't come to that place of healing, that place before the Lord where they must go on and be who God has called them to be, because he's called each and every one of us to be something, to be someone, to be a part, to be engaged in his work. Job had the same experience, did he not? And Job had everything that he thought that he was worth torn away from him. And as he's there in that place, trying to figure out, chapter after chapter, conversation after conversation, goes on and on and on, and we're trying to rationalize our way through what's happening here. And Job realizes at the very end, he said, I have heard of you, but now I see you. And I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. That's the goodness of God. Right there. Right there. That's the place that the work of God matters most. That at the end of all things, when there's nothing left in Matthew Absalom, when all desire, when all ego, when all hope, when everything is lost, what do I see? What do my eyes see? Is there bitterness? Is there this, what I call the Luciferian intellect that tries to figure its way through everything and intellectualize what's happening in the journey? Well, when I'm there in that place, there I see God. I'd heard of you before, but now it's just me and you. There's nobody else here. It's just me, and it's just God. I want to close with a poem that I came across many years ago. Many of you have heard of the poem called Invictus. And it was written by William Henley, who was an atheist. And he kicked against the bitterness of life. He kicked against it. And he wrote this poem that had become somewhat a poem of legend. Many of you would have heard it before. It's called Invictus, which is the Latin word for unconquered. I am unconquered. He says this: out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods, plural, may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody, but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears, looms but the horror of the shade. And yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. The menace of the years. Now watch the religious language that he ties into this. It matters not how straight the gate. Sure it matters. Our Lord said it matters. Or how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. And so he's on his deathbed. And he's screaming against the reality of life. It's coming for who? For all of us. It's coming. Solomon says, you're long home where you are going. And he's raising his fist to heaven. I have been unconquered. I did not bow my head. Contemporary with him was a beautiful Christian woman. Her name was Dorothy Day. And she too was a poet. And she took Invictus. And she said, how would Invictus sound? Written from the soul of somebody who has dwelled with the goodness of God. How would Invictus sound? Written from the soul of somebody who has walked and who knows, who's tasted. And this is what she wrote. Out of the light that dazzles me, bright as the sun from pole to pole, I thank the God I know to be, for Christ, the conqueror of my soul. Since his is the sway of circumstance, I would not wince nor cry aloud. Under the rule which men call chance, my head with joy is humbly bowed. And beyond this place of sin and tears, that life with him and his the aid, that in spite the menace of the years, he keeps me and he shall keep me unafraid. I have no fear, though straight the gate, For he cleared the punishment, the scroll. But Christ is the master of my fate. Christ is the captain of my soul. And so in this place, where all that we are, all that it means to be alive, all that it means to have consciousness, this great gift that God has given us, in the end, the goodness of God is that we know Him and He knows us. That we know Him and to be known by Him. That's it. That's the goodness of God in our life. You know, we come to the temple every Shabbat. And we reassess the reasons why we come here. We reassess why we come to Kol Simcha. Why my congregation down in Miami, to Beit Tefillah, wherever we be. And the reason why we come here is because the goodness of God has called us. He's called our hearts. He's planted inside of you a seed, that seed of faith, that gift that He gave you. And it draws us together. When you come to Kol Simcha, why do you come? When you go to the place of worship, for those who are watching online, why do you go? Do you go to the place of worship because they keep Sunday over there, but I don't? Do we come to this place of worship because their theology is messed up, but my theology is great? Oh, ask me about my theology. Can't wait for you to ask me about my theology. Do we come here because that guy over there, don't like him. Don't like that one, but I like this one. Why do we come here? What drives the essence of who we are as a community? And there should be one word. It's the goodness of God. That somewhere He's come and He's plucked you out. And He has made Himself known to you. And in that place, you had that great gift that was given to our forefather Job. You said, I now see you. I now see you. And so when we come here on Shabbat, we don't come here with our theological egos, because I have mine as well. We don't come here without, I don't like those guys, because I have a list of those as well. All those things need to go aside. All that needs to be swept aside. We come here and we worship because the goodness of God has brought us here to this place, to this time, in the 21st century, in this location at 12:15 in the afternoon. We're here because of the goodness of God in our lives. And so I have a word of encouragement for all of you. Find that place in your heart. Go back to your story. Understand why you are here. What brought you here? Go back to those dark days. And don't forget them. Don't forget them. Sometimes we walk in the walk with the Lord and His presence almost becomes something we take for granted. The Lord's with us here, He's with us there, in our speed of lightning cars, in our homes when we do what we do. The Lord's with us. I know I do. I take His presence for granted. And every once in a while, there's a little crack in my ego. And I remember, I'm here because He chose me. He plucked me out. He made Himself known to me, and I saw Him with my eyes. It's the goodness of God in our hearts that brings us here. Amen. Any questions? I take time for questions and answers before we close out. It's a tradition that I have in my community. I figured that if someone has a question, we'll ask the question here and enjoy each other's fellowship, each other's questions that we have. And sometimes just the question that you have is the same question that somebody else has, but they're not sure they should ask the question. Any questions on the floor for me before we close out? Let's bow our hearts a moment in prayer. Father, we give you thanks for this time together, for your goodness. We give you thanks for your goodness. Lord, I ask and pray that you would work your mystery in each and every one of our hearts at this time. As we go to our homes with our loved ones, with our husbands and our wives, with our families, with our children, as we go home and we come to that quiet place before you, I ask that you would remind us of your goodness. That when we come out to worship you, when we come to serve our loved ones, when we speak to each other inside of our homes, when we go to our places of work with our colleagues, with our employees, our employers, with our friends, with the checkout lady who helps us at the checkout, that we may be the display of your goodness in our lives. I ask and pray, Lord, that you would bless us with this, and that in that place, like our forefather Job, there we will see you. There we will see you. It's because of our Lord Yeshua, who is faithful. It's because of our Lord Yeshua, who gathers us together. It's because of our Lord Yeshua, who said, I will be with you. It's in his name we pray. Amen and amen.